Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media. This is the underground. This is New Media.
Ranger fans, report to the critical thinking hangar. Ranger fans, report to the critical thinking hangar.
Now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. My name is Jim. How are you, Eddie?
How are you?
I'm doing good. I think I'm back to 100%. So much so, I've decided to go on the video.
I'm picking you up loud and clear tonight.
Thank you. You are also, of course, I'm coming through in perfect reception because you are wearing your tinfoil hat. Which looks fantastic.
It's the great first tinfoil Broadway hat.
That is nice. We got to start merchandising that. Are you getting better reception? So that's why I'm sounding much better tonight.
I am. The show sounds great.
Yeah. Yes. So we're rocking in the free world here tonight. We got plenty to talk about, I think.
And if,
we certainly
and if
got a segment.
If there were Hess stations in Arizona, I would totally have done this show from the parking lot of the Hess station.
If I had a laptop, I would have done that too. Desktop, man. So, I don't know. Look, Bluto the Ranger fan is in the chat room.
Yeah.
They should have traded everybody for friggin' Nash. Say the sucks tank.
Huh. Gee, I wonder if that's Newman.
Yeah. All caps, bold type.
Newman or Jackie Lomba?
Oh. I forgot all about her. So we got a lot of segments. Whether we have anything to fill those segments with that's pertinent, we don't know yet. But that we still get through these things with hilarity nonetheless.
Of course.
I guess first I'll ask you. I mean, you were on Twitter today, I assume. Anything going on in the Twitter? What was trending in Ranger world?
Just a lot of talk about Callahan, who is day to day with a foot issue.
Did not hear this.
Yep, he is day to day. Did not practice today. Did not make it to casino night last night. I saw some
pictures. Oh, that was that thing there. Oh, wow. Imagine all the fans that went there to see Cali. I mean, he's not there.
And he wasn't there. Yes. Oh. It was a big, quite a collection of Ranger fans. I saw some very well-dressed women, some very beautiful women, and, you know, let's face it, some not-so-beautiful women. But like everybody had a good time. I saw somebody the guy that follows me was playing blackjack with John Mitchell, undoubtedly giving him shootout tips. There was a picture that went around that Henrik Lundqvist tweeted last night, what he called the Swedish Mafia. I posted the link on Facebook, on our Facebook group, him and Hagelin. I guess a good time was had by all.
Well, for $500, you might as well have a good time.
Is that what it costs to get in that thing?
I don't know. It's expensive.
Oh.
I think
how much did it cost? Somebody tell me in the chat room. How much did it cost to get into that thing? I'm sure somebody was there. Was it $500? That's ridiculous.
I don't know.
Five
people
bills.
People saying five bills.
That is ridiculous. Ridiculous. They put a price on your loyalty.
That's right. That's why you can't be affiliated with that Blue Shirts United. I mean, go on their website, lift some audio clips or some video clips like we do. That's what it's made for. Stealing. Copyright infringement. That's what it's all about. Fuck SOPA. Anyway.
For five bills, you're allowed to say hello to Matt Zuccarello. $1,000, you got your picture with Dancing Larry.
Yeah, he goes to those things?
I'm sure
he part does. Of that all?
I wouldn't be surprised. He might get
Larry,
in.
You got to get out of there.
Might get in for free.
Larry, you got to get out of that dog and pony show they have you in over there. That Blue Shirts United, they're raping Ranger fans over there. I mean, seriously.
Let me see if Larry, I'm looking at Larry's Facebook to see if he posted any pictures if he was there. Let's see. No, Larry's been quiet on Facebook this week. People ask him if he went to the Van Halen show last night at the Garden.
That's the rock guy.
I don't think he was at the casino. So anyway.
You know what I've noticed? Well, I asked you what it was on the Twitter. I've noticed there's people kind of embracing John Scott. Yeah,
oh,
I saw a guy post Blackhawks video with him in it, and he's going to be the crunching defenseman, and this and that. Is that something you've been hearing? You covered your head when I said that. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was adjusting my Reynolds wrap hat here. I mean, people, you know, look, I'm not against it, but it just, I said it the other night. What need does he fill? So, whatever.
Yeah, I can't see him playing ever.
So.
He's
the Blue Shirt. We embrace
him. What happened with that? Sorry, Jim.
No, it's okay. What happened with what?
The Glenn Sather thing. What did he say in his...
Price was too high for Nash. It didn't come down. The prices were high because a lot of teams are still in the hunt. And then he dropped the Chris Kreider, dropped that in there at the end that players maybe who finishing up college that may be eligible to come play in the playoffs. So that's what got this whole Kreider thing going, which we'll ask Nick Perry about when he joins us shortly. And I got to find Nick's phone number. I know I have it here somewhere so that I know when it's him. 646-478-4692 is the number if you want to call.
And I was going to say that maybe next week or the week following we'll play the real Chris Kreider interview that me and Jim had with Chris Kreider 2 years ago, which is sincerely better than what John Monotone did. It's actually going to be the greatest interview Chris Kreider has ever done because of the crazy questions we asked him.
Who was it Kreider or was it Ethan Werrick that told you that we were the best interview he ever did? That was Werrick, wasn't it?
Yeah, it probably is going to be.
well, Werrick told you it was the best interview he ever did, and then 2 weeks later he was traded.
Yes.
Seize him.
Acknowledge me.
Who's this Bluto? Is it time to boot Bluto with the large font and the caps? It's enough.
You're in control. You're in control of that. Frankie is here. I'm seeing the Ranger Gnome is asking about Frankie, and Frankie is here in spirit. As I came through, and me and James have come through and uploaded the plethora of buffoonery that Frankie let loose on this chat room yesterday, or the Monday, actually. So you'll hear that. It's going to be fun. I promise.
It's always fun.
So
we got a full switchboard. We got Nick coming. You know what? Nick might already be on hold. I may have goofed on the time. I may have told him 8:30, thinking that we started at 8. About I've got to know who goofed. So he may already be on hold. Tom Ertz has his phone number. Tom is supposed to private message me so that I know who Nick is on the switchboard. I believe Nick is the 845 number, but oh jeez, Tom, come on, Tom. 1 second, he says. Okay, we'll wait.
Tom Ertz is my co-pilot.
Not God.
God is my co-pilot. Really bad band.
I know. I told you the other night, this marriage is just, you know.
He is very highly related.
There you go. So, tell you what, I'll get
related, Rick Nash.
Get the, where's your theme song for Mr. Perry?
What's Harpooning, I think.
Yeah, is that how it's listed on the switchboard here?
Probably, I'm not sure. We haven't played it in...
I was right. He has an 845 number, but he is not on the switchboard. There is an 845 number, but I don't know if it's him.
No, it's not. What's Harpooning? Oh, man. Well, you look for it, and I'll talk.
All right.
And I've seen some whining about how we don't score goals. I've seen on some of the Facebook groups. I don't think that's the makeup of the team. I think it's just clamped down, shut down defense.
There it is.
They're probably witnessing the best Ranger defensive team ever. Ever. I said it. I don't know what they did in 27 and 35 and then 41. I don't know what they did. But I just know in my lifetime, this is the best defensive Ranger team ever. Goaltender, defenseman, forwards, and it sounds like we found the caller.
We've got the caller. We've got the song. Are we ready to go?
Okay, let's do it.
All right, without further ado.
Now it's time for everybody's favorite segment, What's Harpooning? That's right, What's Harpooning? With the Connecticut Whale, with SNY Blog, Nick Perry.
Nick, good evening. Welcome to the Blue Shirt Underground Radio. How are you, pal?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Have you told anybody yet that you've got your own theme music on this radio show? There aren't many people that have their own theme music.
It's awesome.
So what's going on? You said you have some good stuff to talk about with the Whale. How are the Whale playing these days? Let's start there, and then we'll go individual and talk players.
Well, opposed to last time I was on the show last month, where they're in the midst of a winless month, they have just wrapped up a terrific February where they won 9 of their 12 games. They finished with a 9-2-1 record. They're back on top of the Northeast Division, back on top of the Eastern Conference. And as a team, everything's good. For once, it's consistent play by everyone from goaltending to offense. They're winning games, they're performing well, and they're winning again.
All right.
Well, that's good to hear. Because last time we heard it was the dog days. I heard nothing good from you, Nick. Nothing. Now I'm going to hear good things. Good things.
Yeah, all good things. Last month it was dreadful. They couldn't win a game. They couldn't score. They couldn't get consistent goal trending. But that's completely changed since the All-Star game, and it's all positive in the locker room. Everyone's happy because they're all winning games finally.
Have they gotten over the loss of Grachev this season? Because I really think that may have hindered them earlier. So apparently they're out of that funk.
I think they finally got out of that funk. It took a little while.
Now, I do have one serious question. I have many serious questions. But my first question is, I peruse the stats of the Whale, and I look at it occasionally. I'm not, we have you here to really give us the nuts and bolts of what's going on there. Casey Wellman, I noticed, is doing pretty well point-wise down there. He was the guy that we acquired in the Eric Christensen trade, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Let us know how Casey Wellman's doing.
Yeah, he entered the lineup a couple days after the trade, and for the first two games, he recorded a sit, and he's up to 3 goals and 4 assists in 11 games. He's run into a little bit of a cold streak right now. He's got 3 games without a point, but really the whole offense has kind of been down. But Wellman joined the second line with Jonathan Aurier-Marchessault and Ryan Bourque. They're also the second power play unit. He's a very talented player. He's got great speed, a tremendous shot, a tremendous playmaking ability. I think he was a pretty good acquisition by the Rangers, I think. He's good depth in the minor league, so he's got NHL experience if they ever need a call-up. So far with the Whale, he's been terrific.
And now he's a center iceman, correct?
Yeah, he's a centerman. He can also play wing. Him and Aurier-Marchessault switch off every now and then, but he's usually a center.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the fact that they got even a decent body for Eric Christensen, and a guy who's certainly doing fairly well in his first, 11 games or 10 or 11 games, he may be, I don't know where he fits in the long term, but still, to get somebody that's productive and fairly young, I think was a good move. And we get rid of Eric Christensen, so it's a win-win. All right, so now that you've indulged me, you go ahead. You have free reign of this program to tell us anything you want about the Connecticut Whale.
All right. Well, I guess we should start with Aurier-Marchessault. I've been getting a lot of questions about him. I'm not sure if you guys have, but I've been asked a lot whether or not Jonathan Aurier-Marchessault is for real, or if he really has NHL potential. And one thing that I do want to say first is a lot of people are asking me when he will be called up by the Rangers. He can't be called up yet because he's not officially signed with the team. He signed with the Whale. Beginning tomorrow, the Whale, the Rangers can sign him to an entry-level deal beginning tomorrow, but it would start in 2012-13. But as far as how he plays, Aurier-Marchessault, he definitely has NHL potential. I don't know if it's with the Rangers or who it will be with, but he's definitely got enough skill to play at the NHL level. He's fast. He can play both ends of the ice. He kills penalties. He scores on the power play. He's got speed. He's got a great shot, and he's a great playmaker. And he's worked well with Wellman, which is, I guess, another plus because if Wellman extends his contract, the two of them can work well together. But Aurier-Marchessault, as far as it goes, him with the NHL, he can definitely make it there. And then I guess another player who I've been asked a lot about is Ryan Bourque.
Nick, before you get into Bourque, can I ask you a question about Jam?
Yeah.
You said he's working well on the power play. Being that he's a smaller guy, how are they using him on the power play? Do they use him at the point? Do they kind of use him on the half wall?
Yeah, they use him usually along the board. Sometimes he sits up right in either corner of the offensive zone because he's a quick player, and they usually have shots coming in from the point. He'll just skate right towards the net, and he scores most of his goals on rebounds right around the net. He will get pushed around because he is smaller, but he can take it, and he'll produce a lot of goals by really setting up in the spots where the opposing team can't really see him, and out of nowhere he'll come in and just bank in a rebound.
Okay. Thank you. I was curious. How many power play goals does he have?
This season, I'm pretty sure it's eight power play goals, six or eight, yeah.
Sign him tomorrow.
Yeah, they should. they should definitely get him on a contract. The thing is, his size. Obviously, we don't know how that will go with John Tortorella. I know that's something that a lot of people are probably worried about. Will his size impact how he does in the Rangers system? I think they should just sign him anyway. Sign him to an entry-level deal. See what he can do in training camp. If he can make the team, then that's great. He can provide some offense. If not, then storm into my leagues, have him play out a year, get a game more experience, maybe get a couple of call-ups during the season, and go from there. But the Rangers would definitely be better off signing him to a deal and giving him an opportunity in their system instead of letting him walk and sign with a team like the New York Islanders and possibly become one of their best players.
I think he's a good depth guy. I mean, I don't know if he's ever going to play in NHL, but, you know, if a bus with the hit all Rangers center Iceman, I'd bring him up. I saw the guy in Traverse City, and I saw him in preseason. He looks like he's, you know, he's got some talent. Now, he was a line mate of whose? Christian Thomas? He was a line mate. That was the reason he was not drafted, but the Rangers signed him, right? Who was it again? I forget.
Yeah, it's Ryan Bourque. He was line mates with Ryan Bourque. And then also Kelsey Tessier, another Whale player. Those three players, they played together when they were in Quebec with the Remparts.
And if you were to put those guys on, you know, on top of each other, one after another, they'd reach about 4 feet high.
Yeah.
These guys, those are some small dudes, right?
I mean, I think all three of them are 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah. Yeah, so that was the Lollipop Guild. We used to make a joke about them. Call them the Lollipop Guild, those guys. How is Bourque recovering from concussions?
He's fine now. It didn't really take him a while. Once he returned, he was kind of, you know, right back in the lineup and right back in the middle of things. Throughout the season, he really hasn't missed the beat. He's always playing his physical game. He's always grinding it out. It's really great to see. And, you know, I know a lot of people are worried about his offensive production. You know, he's only got a few goals. Is this really, you know, what we will see from him? I think it will be. He's not going to be a huge, you know, 20, 30 goal scorer ever. I think he'll be a solid two-way, grinded-out player and someone who will definitely fit in our John Torello's system.
Yeah, he reminds me, and I don't want to get you Ranger fans crazy at home and jump all over me, but his work ethic is very similar to Ryan Callahan's. Would you agree with me there?
Yes, 100%, definitely. I wouldn't call him Ryan Callahan, but definitely
he's a hard worker. He's throwing his body all around. He's the first one in on a forecheck. That's the kind of because when I first heard of him and he was playing in Quebec Major Juniors, I was kind of thinking, this guy's probably – they're known for more in an open game up there in that junior league. And I thought he was more of an offensive guy, but I soon – found out that he is more of a hard-working guy. He was coached by Patrick Waugh up there. I think they played for the Ramparts, both him and Jody Audi Marchessault. That's interesting. So what else is going right? How about the goaltending? Nick, tell me something good about his. Cam Talbot straightened his act out. I mean, four rehabs, off-ice. It's only a joke. It's a running joke that Cam Talbot is a malcontent. But seriously, what's going on with the goaltending?
Yeah, finally some good news to report. Goaltending-wise as well, there's finally someone jumping up as the number one goaltender. It's Chad Johnson. He had just a tremendous month of February, under a 2 goals against average, above a 9.5 save percentage. He was 7-1-1. And he's just completely stepped up his game. He was probably the main cause of the turnaround. He's going to be the number one goaltender throughout March, throughout April, and into the playoffs. It's not to say that Cam Talbot didn't play well in March. He played in a few games, and he won two of the three. And even the game that he lost, he still made 40 saves. But really, Chad Thompson's going to be the number one guy for now until the playoffs, and Talbot will be in there. Probably getting him for at least 3 games this month, maybe a game in April, maybe a playoff game. But Chase Johnson has risen to the number one goaltender.
Do you know how Scott Stager is doing in the ECHL?
Stager, he's in the OHL still, but he'll probably join the Whale.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Jason Mission is in the ECHL.
He's the big, tall dude, right? He's like
6'8", 6'9". He's huge.
Well, Stager's big, too. He's like 6'5 or
6'6. Yeah, they've got some big goaltenders.
I think out of all the guys that impressed me in Traverse City and camp was Stager. I remember him looking very well, but he's coming back from a big injury that he suffered last year, right?
Yeah, he's running into some problems as well, you know, with the starting job because Owen Sound has multiple goaltenders. They've also got Jordan Bennington, who's a St. Louis Blues prospect, I believe, and he's kind of got the starting job out of the two. Stager's been adding 24 games. He's 10-7-3. He's having a relatively good season. I think next year he might make the jump to the AHL. If not, then he'll start in the ECHL. But as of right now, he is probably the number one goaltending prospect in the Rangers system.
Let me ask you this. Are there any goalies in the AHL that – let me give you this scenario. Say there is a shootout and an opposing player is coming down on them. Would they be able to close their legs? because Marty Biron's got a problem with that. Can you see any of these guys next year ousting Biron? What's your opinion? I'll ask your opinion. Let me ask Jim and the chat room's opinion. Would you like to see a younger guy in there, or you want Biron still in there? Why don't you guys answer that?
I'll say real quick, for now, I want Biron, but he'll be gone for next year. There you go.
Okay. And you, Nick?
What I would say, I mean, I don't think either Chad Thompson or Cam Talbot will really become starters in the NHL, not for the Rangers, obviously. Chad Johnston, I think the way he's playing now, he's had a good season throughout. Now he's just really building up and becoming a much better goaltender. I think he'll definitely re-sign this offseason with the Rangers, and he'll have an opportunity to become the backup goaltender. You know, as for the other guys, they're still going to take some time to obviously build up and get to that spot. But Chad Johnston, I'd say Chad Johnston over Morgan Biron, possibly. I don't really – it's tough because Johnston, he doesn't have too much NHL experience. But if you're looking for a younger guy, he would be the first one to get that position.
Okay. Well, a lot of questions from the chat room, and Jim's got some for you.
I'm going to hit you with some rapid-fire questions, Nick. You ready?
Yep.
All right. The most popular question, we have this coming in from Mandar and Tom. How's Tim Erickson doing?
Erickson's doing very well. Still one of the top potential on the team. He's getting the most minutes, power play, penalty kill, 5-on-5. He is injured right now. He'll be back shortly. It's nothing major, nothing to worry about, but he's still been perfect, amazing in his rookie year.
What's the injury?
It's upper body. It's not really...
Okay, Tortorella, thanks. Upper body, all right. I'm just kidding. How's he? And he's playing on the power play. He's playing the point. Looking good.
Yeah, he's looking great on the power play. He's very, very good. Very great. A great two-way defenseman.
Okay. Now, how about? Let's see what else we got here. How about MZA? Forgotten
Zuccarello,
man.
He's still doing great. He's scoring more often now than he was a couple of months ago. He's playing on the top line still with Newbury and DeVoe. The three of them are the top producers on the team. And, you know, I'm kind of surprised Zuccarello wasn't traded at the deadline. I don't know if they're planning on calling him up at some point. But he's progressing and he's playing very well still throughout the season.
Now, are you hearing anything about him possibly going back to Europe if he doesn't get a shot with the Rangers before the end of this season?
I think the plan that the Rangers have is to at least qualify him and see what he wants to do. There are some rumors that he might return to Europe if he doesn't get an opportunity. The Rangers, like they did last year with Grachev, they might be forced to trade him at the deadline. There's nothing certain yet, but he may go back to Europe.
Okay. Captain, our buddy Captain N, Captain 9 NYR wants to know, who would be the most likely non-Newberry call-up? Ranger fans have seen enough of Chris Newberry.
I guess I'd say Zuccarello on offense and probably Erickson on defense. They're the most likely ones for sure.
Okay. How about the progress of Pavel Valentenko?
Valentenko, he's played terrific offseason. Obviously, he had a poor training camp in preseason. He did get injured, and since he's returned, he's just been terrific. Solid offseason. He's getting terribly timed, penalty killing time. He's playing physically. He's blocking shots, and he's been great offseason.
Okay. And let's see. I have another question.
Man, I want to know about Chad Kolarik. Is Chad Kolarik back yet?
No, he is not back yet, but he is making...
Johan Santana? I mean, seriously? 2 years! What's going on with this guy?
Yeah, he's... I mean, it's been a tough road for him, but he is getting very close to returning, and he hopes to be back by the beginning of April. And he'll be a huge help for the Whale because he's a tremendous player. And it would be great if he could come back by April so he could help them in the final push to the playoffs and then during the playoffs. But he should be back this season.
All right. Let's see. Is there anybody else that any other questions?
Well,
no.
How about this? I'm sorry.
I was trying to get to the end of the chat room questions before we went back.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Before we tackle the prospects. All right. I guess we would be remiss if we didn't ask, why hasn't Sean Avery played since January 27th? Eric from the Five Hole blog would like to know.
Yeah. Avery, he's probably not going to play again for the Whale. I don't know if he'll play with the Rangers again. Probably not. But, It's not looking like it looks like he's done with the organization for right now. He's not really practicing too much either, but
is it an attitude thing, or is it just there was no production from him, or is it we've got better players than Sean Avery?
I'd say somewhat of an attitude thing. He was getting himself, kind of kicked out of games. The last game he played, he scored a goal, and right after that, he jumped the guy on the other team, got thrown out of the period. 10-minute misconduct in the third period. He just sat on the bench for the entire period, and that was it.
Wow. So there you have it. For all the inquiring minds that wanted to know about Sean Avery, Nick Perry from SNY is here to tell you he's done. Maybe forever.
Class act he turned out to be.
Yeah, really. All right, so Eddie, back to you.
Holy crap, I forgot what I was going to say. Let's see. Oh, yeah. You were saying that, basically you told us a lot of players are playing well. Who's thinking to join up? Because, as Ranger fans, we like to dwell on the negative.
Anyway.
We haven't had much this year, so. Who's been disappointed?
Well, there's really no one right now that's playing badly.
Come on. Bell Biv DeVoe, how's he playing?
He's actually been the top power play producer. He's got 13 power play goals. I mean...
13 power play goals? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, 13 power play goals. It leads the team. I'm pretty sure it's at least tied for the team or for the league lead. I haven't checked it recently, but it's among the league lead right now. He's got 18 goals, 13 are power plays.
What has he got, a 3-game suspension if he comes back to the NHL? We have the answer at Bell Biv DeVoe, and the Rangers refuse to bring him up.
Bell Biv DeVoe, now you know.
Wow, I am totally flabbergasted that Andre DeVoe has 13 power play goals. Bell Biv DeVoe. Now you know. Wow. Okay. There was my shot at picking somebody bad, and the guy's leading the league in power play goals. Well, the Whale has certainly turned it around. Now,
yeah.
Jim, you can do your prospect then.
All right. Now, Nick, we've heard some talk. I guess Glenn Sather started it at his press conference when he came down, spoke to the media the other night after the trade deadline about Chris Kreider. Is there any – how valid is that? Now I hear Chris Kreider, you know, obviously he wants to finish school. He wants to get his degree. I know that was very important to him. He spoke about it at the draft when the Rangers drafted him. Is this a real possibility that we could see Kreider with the Rangers at the end of when he's done with college, which I believe is the same day as the final day of the regular season?
Yeah, I think it is a real possibility. Obviously, it's up to him. If he wants to leave, he can. You know, he took extra classes over last summer. I think that actually got him closer to graduating. I'm not sure where he is in that process, but it is up to him. He has the final say if he wants to leave school or not, but it sounds like it is a real possibility that he could sign with the team. I think it's April 7th. I can't remember the date, but I think it is very likely that he will sign with the team. I don't know if he might join the Rangers. I don't know if they really want to do that. You know, I could see him starting with the Whale first, like they did last year with Carl Hagelin, and that ended up beautifully for the Rangers. But I do think it's a real possibility that you will see Chris Kreider sign and begin his pro career in early April.
Wow,
interesting. Wouldn't he lose one of his years as an ECL entry level ELC rather entry level contract if that would happen?
Yes, I do think that is the case, but if he does sign the entry-level deal with the Rangers, he could also sign an amateur tryout agreement with the Whale, which would kind of, you know, like paralyze the entry-level contract for a little bit, and
okay.
He would play on the ATO with the Whale so that he doesn't lose any years at all. That's what they did with Hagelin last year.
Ah, see? Okay.
Okay, so who are some of the other Ranger prospects that are performing well?
There's a lot. There's still Michael St. Croix. He's got 95 points this year. His team is the third best team in the WHL. And then there's Dylan McElrath. His team is the fourth best team in the WHL. He's played solid on the back end despite the few suspension problems that he's had.
McElrath healthy? He had some knee problems, correct?
Yeah. He's had a rough season. He's had injuries, a couple of suspensions, but he's played well while he's been in the lineup. What you would expect from him physically, physical, he's fighting, he's doing what he does best. And then another guy who's really come out of nowhere, Andrew Yogan. He was traded by his OHL team in the offseason, and now he's the second best score on his current team. He's got 30 goals, 31 assists, and that's something that the Rangers really do like to see. Last year, he joined the Whale in an ATO, and his season ended. It looks like his team may not make the playoffs this year, in which case, if that does happen, he would join the Whale again on an ATO, and possibly even his teammate Peter Tresniak. They drafted him in the sixth round of the 2011 draft. So those two guys are guys to watch for. And Christian Thomas and JT Miller are still also performing very well. Both their teams look like they will make the playoffs, so I don't think either of them will join the Whale early, but those are the guys that I would say to watch out for.
Is Yogan the guy from Florida or California? It's one from, was he from Florida, I think?
He's from Boca
Raton. I think it's Florida.
He's from Boca
Raton, Florida.
Boca Raton, yeah. Because he was drafted in 2009, and I was allowed to ask him a question, and I said, how does a guy from Boca Raton, you know, get into hockey? And then the Rangers PR had me ushered out of the room. And
well, of course. Well, it sounds like the Ranger prospects pretty much are doing well. Is Jesper Fast? Is he back yet? Yeah, he got that bad leg injury that was all over YouTube.
Yeah, that really bad injury. He did return recently. I don't know how well he's doing right now. He was doing very well before the injury, but he has returned I think he returned. It might have been last week that he returned, but he is back from the injury.
Good. Okay. All right. So everything sounds good down on the farm, as they say.
Well, Nick, we appreciate you coming on. Great report. It's good to hear good news and everybody doing well. And we'll check in with you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Nick.
Take
all
care,
right,
Nick.
Talk to you soon. Take care.
Take care.
Bye. All right. Nick Perry from SNY. You can follow him at Nick_PERRISNY. And if you look, I'm pretty sure that's the correct Twitter name. I don't have it in front of me, but I tweeted it earlier. So if you want to grab it from one of my tweets, there you go. We're going to blow through the phone calls quick tonight so that Eddie can talk about the hockey cards, since that was
half. Yeah, we can. We'll see how it goes.
And
people are interested in that.
And all right, without further ado, Frankie, how are you?
I'm doing peachy keen.
Now, were you able to hear? We figured you'd enjoy Nick tonight. He covers the Whale and he covers the prospects.
Yeah, I heard his evaluation of some of the prospects. I'm not in any agreement with that guy they got for Christensen. He's 24 years old. He plays a finesse game.
Casey Wellman?
He's given the production at 24 years old that Dale Weiss was getting at Hartford at 21. And Weiss plays a physical game, something Wellman would never do. Anyways, that's not the purpose of the call. I had two things I wanted to say. One of the reasons why the Rangers had entertained moving Dylan McGrath, who I really love as a player, was because of a draft choice they made, a guy in the Quebec League. His name is Samuel Nerot. He's a right defenseman, just like McElrath. He's 6'4", 215. If McGrath is the toughest guy in junior hockey, then Nerot is like the second toughest guy. They are really physical, tough. Unfortunately, they're both right defensemen, and I suspect why McElrath might have been available was because Nerot has only 50 minutes in penalties this year. Nobody wants to fight him, and he doesn't get suspended, and he has no injury issues. But the real question I wanted to ask tonight was, I looked at Michael St. Croix, and the kid hasn't missed a game like in 3 years, or maybe he's missed one game in 3 years. He's been in junior hockey for 4 years, and he's born in 1993. And, I mean, this kid must have been like 10 years old when he was playing in junior hockey. And he's a plus 36 this year, and never gets injured. And if he has a bad year this year and goes into a total slump, he's still going to score 40 goals and 100 points. And he's not a little guy like Bork. I mean, he's not big. He's 5'11", 175, but he's only 18 years old. So theoretically, he could get bigger. He obviously will get stronger. And he's got 4 years of production in the Quebec League, something that, I'm not a big Bork fan. You know, I was like blocking him as don't draft him. He's too small. He has concussion issues, injuries issues, and we went and drafted him anyways, I guess as a favor to his father. But I'm really high on St. Croix. I mean, he supposedly just operates on the periphery, but if he operates on a periphery, he's still putting up production like you cannot believe. And he's a plus 36. So that guy that I was talking about, Samuel Nerot, he may be somewhere on the horizon if he keeps on improving. The only problem is he's a competitor with McElrath. Both right defensemen, both tougher than anybody around, both 6'4", 215.
Yeah, I got a chance to see Samuel Nerot in Traverse City, and I don't know if he made it to camp. He's a big dude. His skating's got to improve. I don't think he's as good a skater as McElrath, but I like what I saw. So you're on point with that, Frankie.
And he's a year younger than McElrath. Go ahead.
Don't you think that McElrath is kind of like ordained to get the shot because of the controversy, semi-controversy about where he was drafted? and the fact that, you know, the Rangers have invested a lot in him.
McElrath's going to play in the NHL. He is definitely going to play in the NHL, okay? No doubt about it. He has the skill set. He has like a 95-mile-an-hour slap shot, you know, but he's more interested in playing defense than anything else and playing a physical game. That kid has upside, you know. He has upside more than Nerod, but Nerod plays a defensive game, you know. And anyways.
We don't care.
What was I saying? Yeah, McElrath is what he is. And when they were talking about Ryan Callahan clones, well, there is a Ryan Callahan clone, but he's
we don't
in
care.
Boston. He's in the Boston organization. He was their second-round draft choice, Jared Knight. And he is everything that Callahan is, but he's like 20 years old. And he'll get called up probably next year. He's about ready to be called up.
All right. Well, Frankie, listen, we're short on time tonight, so we're going to have to let you go so we can take some other calls, and we want to do some other stuff tonight. But we'll talk to you again next week, all right?
Fine. Thank you. Good night.
Take
care.
Real quick.
Bye-bye.
Frankie, before I let you go, did it stop raining down there? Did you make it? Where are you tonight?
It's 85 degrees outside. All's well with the world.
All right. Are you down at the Hess station?
No, I'm at the Capital Bank, which is across the street from the Hess.
All right.
And I get a better signal.
All right. Because the people listening, they were worried about you out at that gas station on the phone there. Take care, Frankie. Be safe.
Good night.
Good night.
There you go, the great Frankie.
No. Can't get a signal where I live. So what I do is I move down the street near the tower at a Hess gas station.
You know, I think we now have enough clips.
No.
We could, maybe we do, Frankie. We could simulate an entire Frankie call. And now we go to Frankie. Frankie, how are you tonight? You know, you do the
Who's that? Dylan McGrath? What is he?
Dylan McGrath. So.
Oh, man.
Artissimo.
Thank you. Thank you, Frankie. All right. So we'll continue with the phone calls. Captain, what's going on?
Now, how exactly do you expect me to follow that?
Isn't it funny how everybody that goes after Frankie says that? That's the first thing they say. Oh, I got to follow Frankie now?
And I'm not a crazy person, despite the brain injury.
Oh, man. At least she was calling from somewhere that apparently was a little safer. Today.
To the Capital Bank. He was right across the street from the Hess station.
Can't get a signal where I live. So what I do is...
Cut it off.
I mean, if there's going to be a bank robbery, at least we know someone will take care of it.
A man fled the scene on a Vespa.
Wearing a tinfoil hat.
Hagelin.
That says...
Hagelin.
It says... Brakes on Pigling. The side of the scooter, and you said, at crackpot.
You know what I noticed about Frankie? He's got to get Dale Weiss in every conversation.
Dale Weiss.
That's his favorite.
Right? He's got it. He's condemning Casey Wellman because he's not Dale Weiss. Oh, God.
Oh, all right. Anyway.
All right. Sorry, Captain.
What's going on?
That's no problem. I'm curious to get both of your thoughts. Sather pretty much, you know, said everything but, hey, we're signing Chris Kreider. I mean, he pretty much said, we're going to do it. I mean, do you think it's legitimate that he may actually wear Ranger blue for a playoff run? I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know. Has it been done? I mean, under Tortorella, has that been done? We've only had two playoffs with him, and they were both first-round exits. But has he brought up guys? Because I remember under Rennie, I think the first time I saw Anisimov or Artissimov or Ansimov, first time I saw him was in a playoff game under Rennie.
No, that was under Tortorella.
That was under Tortorella.
Well, I know. Let me rephrase that. Tortorella did call him up in the playoffs against Washington when he first took over as coach.
All right.
Maybe Drury was out. Did Drury miss a game in that series?
Did Drury play a game in that series?
He played with a broken hand in that series, didn't he? Didn't he have a broken hand? But anyway, but I know they called Anisimov up, Anisimov, Artisimov, and I think he played like fourth line minutes. As far as this Chris Kreider thing goes, I think it's very enticing. And we know the boss, the emperor. We know he loves his shiny toys. But I think it's a no win situation for Kreider. Call Yasha Maru for you Star Trek fans out there.
I mean, really?
I think he will be part of the whale. I don't think the Rangers will just bring a kid up and throw him in the mix in the playoffs. I mean, the Rangers are their identity is set. They're not going to be looking to score goals. They're going to be looking to shut people down. If goals happen off the takeaways and the giveaways and off the hits and the forecheck, that's the way they're going, you know.
You're also talking about the most stubborn coach in the history of coaches. You know, this isn't he doesn't willingly, you know, let people, as Eddie has said many times, he doesn't willingly let people into his circle. So they could sign Kreider and he could very well sit in the press box.
Well, I mean, you know, as long as he doesn't, you know, mind the smoke from the guy 2 seats down, that would be fine.
Providing the guy, he might not even be awake.
That's true, too. It's an interesting thought. I mean, I know, you know, we as fans always speculate about stuff like that, but when he pretty much came out and said what he said, I mean, it does lend a lot of credence to, I think they're at least entertaining the idea. And, you know, I think Korpikoski made his NHL debut for the Rangers in the fifth game of the series they lost to Pittsburgh. So I guess, I mean, there's some level of precedence. And
you might be right about that.
Yep. I had asked. He scored a goal that game, I think. I think he was the only one that scored a goal that game.
Quite possible. And yeah. I don't know if it means anything. I would probably say it doesn't mean anything. But Tortorella was the one that said, I guess last summer, that he thought Kreider should turn pro.
I believe he said he can't wait to get his teeth into him, were the words he chose.
Mandar, Richter's NHL debut in the playoffs, was that Esposito put him in?
Yeah.
Was it Esposito coaching?
Waving the towel.
He had fired Bergeron, right, with 4 games to go in the season, right?
Yeah.
Anyway. So, I don't think Kreider will be with the team for the playoffs.
I think he's got like a 15% chance, and I pulled that number completely out of my ass, but I think it's at a 15% chance.
Excellent. There you have it.
Okay.
Before I let you guys go, I hope that no one got offended that Adam and I are counting down magic numbers in the February.
Oh, I know it. I love it. Ronnie,
this season is so fun.
Ronnie Delfino needs to lighten the fuck up.
Yeah.
And if he wants to have a Facebook group where you don't talk about the magic number, he could start one. Nobody tells me what to talk about in my Facebook group.
Or on this show.
That's right.
They all could suck a proverbial Ranger shields.
I'm going to post on there tonight that the Mets magic number is 162.
Ah.
All right, Cap.
I think they've already been unmathematically eliminated.
All right, Kat.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
You know, it's funny. You know, I find that Ranger fans, some of us, are not enjoying this season as much as we should be. I mean, we're usually worrying about playoff scenarios and how many points we need to get in and scoreboard watching. Now it's just, we're in cruise control.
Let's have fun.
We're just worried about, right? I mean, just have fun with it. Don't worry if they can't score and they win 1-0, 2-0. The playoffs will be here. It'll be a whole new season. We've been playing playoff hockey all year. My only concern is I would like to see some of these guys get a rest once in a while. You know, you can spell Girardi once in a while. And I got to tell you, a lot of people I was posted on the Facebook group about some of the Broadway hardware heroes that we're going to have as far as possible trophy candidates. Girardi's only got 12 minutes in penalties. I think we talked about this on another show. And playing most minutes in the NHL, he certainly got a shot at the Lady Bing. I mean, six minors for a defenseman? I mean, that is sick.
Yeah,
I mean, that is
impressive.
So, and the President's Trophy and possibly the Vezina, and there is some MVP talk. I don't know if, you know, I don't know if they want to give it to a goalie. I don't know how that goes. And Malkin's having a good year. And you got a lot of things, and the Jack Adams, the Morticia Adams, the Gomez Adams with Tortorella.
He's gone from the Patch Adams to the Jack Adams, right?
Right. I mean, there's a lot of regular season accolades that may come the Rangers' way. Now, it all means jack shit if they, you know, shit the bed in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
But we're going through the season. Let's enjoy it. Oh,
I
hear so much complaint. Oh, there was one. Who was it? Oh, here's an example, Jim, if you let me just go for a second. The Mandar of our Facebook group, Stephen Schaefer.
Oh, yeah.
The Rangers had gone, 34 years without the Flames? They gave up 11 shots against the Flames, I think, 31 years ago. They gave up 13 shots against the Devils, the lowest total since that game. And Stephen Schaefer writes, well, we only had 15.
So
well,
what?
Who cares? What does that mean? Enjoy it. Well, we always got to look at the other side, the negative side. Now, I like Stephen, mostly because he's bigger than me and can beat the shit out of me. But let's keep it positive. When are we ever going to get this good again? This might be an effort. Who knows? Next year we could suck. I don't think so, but you never know. This team is great. I mean, this has been a great regular season. So just let's enjoy it. Be proud.
And I'm just going to throw two very quick things out there regarding the standings. The Rangers are 2 points behind in the President's Trophy, behind Vancouver. But they have three games at hand. And they have three games at hand on Detroit, who has 87 points. The Rangers have 86. Now, two other things, and we'll get back to the phones. Very quickly, I am asking the Underground, for obvious reasons, pull for the Coyotes in the West. They are the only – do you guys realize they're the only team that's hotter than the Rangers right now, legitimately, statistically, in the last 10 games? They haven't lost in the entire month of February. I want them to win the Western Conference. I want them in the Stanley Cup Finals against the Rangers. I think you know why. So I can chase Miss Arizona around the arena again when we do our live Stanley Cup Finals show. So pull for the Coyotes. All right, one more thing, and we'll get back to the phones. We want to wish one of our longest listeners and one of our furthest traveled listeners, Chris Smith over in the UK, is turning 30 tomorrow, and he said he was going to stay up all night to celebrate his 30th birthday, so he may be listening. So, Chris, this is for you.
Oh boy, a birthday party! Happy, happy birthday to you! Happy, happy birthday! Happy, happy birthday! Happy, happy birthday to you!
Happy birthday! Now you're 1 year older! Happy birthday! Your life still isn't over!
Happy birthday!
You did not accomplish much, but you didn't die this year, I guess that's good enough!
Happy birthday, Chris! Back to the phones we go. What's that?
The UK. I was saying happy birthday to Chris from the UK.
Chris from the UK. He is one of our longest, long-time listeners. He's been here for almost the whole ride. 718-225, you're on Bouchard Underground. Who's this?
This must be Stan.
Hi, Stan. How are you?
Doing very well.
Good.
How are you guys?
Doing good.
Right.
So, what are your thoughts? What are you? Are you a positive man at this point?
Oh, sure. Why not? How can you not be positive? Just keep it going.
Exactly.
I mean, it's amazing. Every game is the same with these guys. They just, you know, it's just one game after another. Every shift is the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been treated to some. Stan, you've been through the wars. I mean, you've been with me and Jim and a lot of the rest of us. We've seen a lot of this real nonsense throughout the years. this team gets things done in a winning way. I mean, I haven't seen too many teams come down the pike like this.
No, it's really been an extraordinary season, no doubt about it. Yeah, a couple things. I went to the Whale game yesterday. My son got Chris Berman's tickets, so got a freebie there.
You said the game started at 11:30?
Yeah, 11. I have no idea why on a weekday without a holiday it did. I couldn't find out. It was very strange.
What? Was it Mitch Beck Day over there?
I don't know.
Mitch Beck Day.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the whole NAS situation. A couple of things. First of all, I don't understand how Larry Brooks – there's only a couple of people who know what the deal was, and I don't think any of them would have told Larry Brooks. So how does he know what players were involved? I can't figure that one out. But actually, that wasn't that bad of a deal for either team. I'm surprised Columbus turned it down, if it, you know, as reported. I don't think they're going to do better than what Saylor offered them. And I don't think it would have killed the Rangers either. What do you guys think?
Yeah. It's tough to tell. I mean, you know, they try to. There were a lot of prospects involved in that. I mean, you can't really tell right off the bat. I mean, prospects are what they are, prospects until they're proven. I think a lot of Ranger fans would have been upset. I think the majority of Ranger fans would have been upset. But then you see a goal like Rick Nash scored last night. I don't know if you got a chance to see that goal. He's heading to the net. He crashes the net. He scores a goal. That's the kind of guy we need. But in the end, I really think the price was too high. I don't know. Jim, how do you feel about it?
I thought that if that price was accurate, what Larry Brooks was saying, I think that was too much to pay.
Well, why Columbus turned it down?
I just think their GM's an idiot.
That's my thinking also.
Yeah. I just think he's an idiot.
I'll be surprised if that guy didn't get fired at the end of the year.
I don't know how he wasn't fired months ago, but... I mean, all the deals they made and you know, the way they flopped, you know, I don't know how he survived this long. You know, the coach, he fired the coach. They haven't gotten any better. And you got the face of the franchise asking for a trade. And then this bozo goes out and says, oh, he came and asked us for a trade, which completely cuts out the legs of whoever replaces him when it comes to trading Nash. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Unless their owner's like Dolan, you know, another idiot.
Oh, well, there is that.
Yeah.
So what else? Anything else?
No, just, you know.
Well, Stan, I wanted to ask you just one question. Well, you went to the Whale game. Did you see anything that you would like to report?
Not really. I mean, I really wasn't like scouting like I like to do. You know, I just enjoyed it. Thing was, got great seats. We were like right behind the bench. I don't know how many people, if you ever watch a hockey game from, like, ice level, it's unbelievable. I mean, you can actually hear the puck going across the ice. You know, it's really crazy.
And it's colder down below, too, because he goes into the ice. Yeah. Let me ask you one question before I let you go. I've been tossing around this in my head. Brad Richards, right?
Yeah.
Do you think he's having a subpar season? Because he's kind of playing a second line role, maybe playing it more defensively, or do you think he's having a good season? What do you think?
Well, I wouldn't say he's having a good season. He scored some big goals. He just hasn't scored a lot of them. I think, you know, we'll have to see what happens in the playoffs. I mean, you're really looking forward to him to step up then. That's what's going to determine what goes on. I mean, let's face it, they have a shot to go all the way. So his playoff
my
run,
problem,
that'll be
my
key.
Only problem with him is the power play. You know, he should be contributing more on the power play. You know, even strength, I can deal with the lower goal productions, but on the power play, you know. So we'll find out, like you said, in the playoffs, whether it you know, we get big goals out of him.
That's it. That'll be the key.
Okay, Stan.
No, he only has 8 more years to go on his contract.
Yeah. We got him in his prime right now. You're right. All right, Stan, we're going to let you go, but thank you so much for calling tonight, my friend.
All right,
thanks,
guys.
Stan.
Take care. Good
take
night.
Care. Bye. Stan, another long time. Long, long time. I think he was our very first caller when Fortunato was still.
Oh, really?
Still riding second chair. Yeah. Well,
second chair, huh?
I shouldn't put it like that. That was the wrong way to put it.
It's banana all of a sudden. This is how it goes.
That was the wrong. I knew. You know what? I knew immediately.
I'm trying to retract.
I said immediately that was the wrong thing to say, and that was. He was second chair. You take no second chair to no one, my friend. No, when I was doing a show with him, I was doing everything because Joe was yawning through half the show. What?
He was falling asleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. You want to take another call? What do you want to do? You want to show us a couple of hockey cards? What do you want to do?
Well, I wanted to do kind of a hockey card 101, and if anybody's got some cards after this call, if you want me to get a price for them, I'll price them for you live on the air.
All right. There you go. If you got any cards. I think Howie's on hold, and I think he wanted to talk about cards, but I'm not sure. Mandar, of course, is on hold. And I think this might be Rock. So why don't we talk to Rock real quick, and then we'll get Howie and Mandar on. Rock, is that you?
Yes, boys. How are you?
Hey, Rock. How you doing?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Good.
How are you? Good. I'm gearing up for the playoff run now. I'm excited going into the second half of the season. Like you said, the Rangers have a lot of games in hand, so looking for them to make a really big push now. And just looking at their schedule briefly, they have a pretty favorable schedule coming up. So hopefully we could to wrap up the division, wrap up the Eastern Conference, and you know, hopefully get a viable opponent in the first round. I mean, the big thing for me is I'm not really crazy about facing Washington in the first round, so I'm really hoping Winnipeg squeezes their way in there. So
I got no goaltending.
Yeah, I know. I'm just tired of seeing them.
You're always
tired of seeing them in the playoffs. I am always worried. I guess you know what it is, Eddie. Years of being let down. I think. Has always creeped into my mind. I'm doing the best I can to be optimistic, you know, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself.
Think it's going to take a couple of years of winning before that's erased. So I don't
exactly
blame.
Exactly. And like I said, I mean, every playoff series over the course of the last few years have been gut wrenching losses. So I just want to see the team grow. I'm excited. I really hope Chris Kreider comes up and plays. It's not for the Rangers, to play for the Whale, just to kind of see what the kid has. You know, we see him playing, you know, I've watched a few times, they've had the Boston College games on one of the channels, and I've watched him play, and he's a man playing amongst boys. I mean, he's so much better than most of the guys on the ice, so I'm very curious to see how that translates to the AHL and hopefully to the NHL, so... yeah, obviously we have high hopes for him, so I'm just looking forward to seeing what he can bring in and what he can do. You know, just to wrap up the trading deadline briefly, a little disappointed that they didn't bring in another depth forward just to give them a little extra, just in case, you know, guys start getting banged up. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the reason the Rangers, I think, have been as successful as they are this year is their forwards have been relatively healthy. I mean, knock on wood. I mean, they've been relatively healthy this year. They've been a little banged up on the back line, but their forwards have been healthy. Their prime guys have been healthy for the majority of the season. So I'm a little disappointed that they didn't go out and bring in a Sammy Paulson type player to kind of give them a little insurance if someone does go down, that they could kind of squeeze their way in there. But I don't begrudge Sather for not giving up Kreider and McDonough and Delzato. I mean, that just it's just silly to think that any team is going to give up those type of players, especially teams that are pushing to, for a playoff run. So, you know, I guess in the long run, the Nash trade, you know, before the off season was really not going to happen because you just don't see any team that's going to dismantle their franchise to bring in a guy. What I found fascinating, though, is Scott Housen in his press conference yesterday did say that teams were not looking to break up chemistry. So, and I know that was one of the big things they were saying about the Rangers. So this Nash thing is far from over, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Rangers fall short this year if Nash is on their radar come the draft. So, again, just excited. I'm looking gearing up for the playoffs and you know, looking forward to hopefully a good run here. So I'm being optimistic.
Yeah,
as
it's tough. I mean,
as you should be.
And I know you were one of the guys that really was concerned about them getting some goal production this year.
Mm-hmm.
Production at the trading deadline.
Right.
So
there was
so
nobody out there ready. It was really Rick Nash, or it was really nobody. I mean, from a scoring perspective, from a goal scoring, all the teams, you know, Jim mentioned Ray Whitney, and we've talked about Shane Doan and Solani. Those Doan and Solani would have made a little bit more sense, but to me, to bring in a Brad Boyce, it serves no purpose. You know, you might as well just go to war with the team you have. They all are in love with each other. They're all enamored with each other. Even we're sad that Wolski got traded, which I found pretty interesting. But, you know, you guess you go to war with the team you have, and you hope that the chemistry will carry them in. And as far as Brad Ridge is concerned, obviously he's not having a great year. I mean, other than Gabrick, really nobody's having a great offensive season. He's scored 7 game-winning goals. I mean, you figure that's 14 points in the standings that have come off his stick. So, you know, the fact that he's not putting up 70 or 90 points is a little, you know, disappointing, but he has helped the team in other ways, stuff that other free agents that have come in haven't been able to do. They've always killed us when they've been wearing the other jersey, but when they step into the Ranger jersey, they seem to forget that big moment type of deal. The thing I found interesting is, you know, someone made a point like they were disappointed, you know, Richards' goals and whatever else. You know, they brought in Richards. That should have been an offensive boost going into this season. But, like, who would have thought you have gotten 6 goals out of Dubinsky, 5 goals out of Boyle, and 3 goals out of Brandon Prust? Last year, you got something like 56 goals out of those 3 guys for the entire season, where this year you've only gotten 16, I don't know if my math is right, 15 goals out of those 3 guys. So basically, those 3 guys were counted on to put up, well, not Prust as much. I mean, Prust had 11 goals last year, so maybe that was a little much of an aberration, but you expect a little more offense out of those 3 guys.
Yeah, but don't forget you're getting, they've gotten more goal production
out of
Callahan
and out of the defense.
And out of Gabrick.
Mm-hmm.
What did Gabrick have last year? 23 goals?
23, yeah. So, right.
He's already well ahead of that pace. So is Callahan.
Right. And Callahan, you're right. But, like, again, you were expecting more. You definitely were expecting, if nothing else, you were expecting 20 goals out of Dubinsky, and it doesn't even look like he's going to get half that. So,
yeah.
You know, you brought Richards in to kind of subsidize them to get them to that next level where, you know, you kind of. And where would this team be without Carl Hagelin? I mean, you're talking, I think he had like 28 points.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm off a little 11, bit.
I think it's 11 goals, 16 assists.
I'll tell you, I don't know how you guys feel. I watched him in preseason, and I was not impressed at all.
Oh, he had a bad
goes
camp.
To show you what a little seasoning does in the AHL, getting a little, you know, some games under your belt, getting a little confidence, and this guy's come up and has been fantastic.
Yep.
He didn't even show speed in camp and in Traverse City.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't show like he had any speed. If anything, Christian Thomas had a better camp than he had.
Right, and I thought JT Miller had a great camp. I thought JT Miller, despite the fact that he didn't, you know, he's obviously they're playing guys that are bagging groceries in 2 weeks, but, you know, I thought JT Miller had a fantastic camp, but I was actually surprised he got cut as soon as he did. So.
Well, I think he's still got a ways to go, but.
No,
yeah,
I know.
JT Miller. No, he looks good.
All right, Rock.
Future looks
bright,
guys. So we'll talk to you next week, and I'm working on my optimism. So we'll
okay.
keep it going. All right.
All right. Take it
okay,
easy.
Okay, brother.
Be good, boys. Later.
All right. Great job by Rock. Good calls tonight. Good solid calls. Good job.
Solid calls.
So,
want me to do my bait?
Yes. Here's what I'm going to do because I believe that we have two calls on hold that want to talk about hockey cards, and we have Mandar. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring everybody that's on hold online. And whose phone is popping? Whoever that is, they might get. All right. First, Eddie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Do you hear that noise?
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
Is that me?
No, I don't think so, because it didn't start until I put somebody that I just put on.
It's popping their peas.
Making that noise. And I think it's, hold on.
Probably Newman.
I thought it was Newman, but I don't think it is. I don't know. Now it's gone. Newman, are you there? Nope, there it is.
I'm here.
Is that your phone making that noise?
No.
Well, I only hear it when I have you on the line. Hold on. All right, let's see. 570-431. Is this Howie?
Yeah, it's me.
Newman hung up. And Mandar is on the line. Good evening, Mandar.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Nope. And the.
You're really somber tonight.
Not somber.
Okay.
Time. The week is moving along. So, Howie, did you? And now Newman's back. And there's that noise again. Newman.
Yeah.
All right. What did you have? You said you had hockey cards you wanted to talk to Eddie about. What'd you have?
Well, I have.
By the way, the chat room is congratulating you. They said that was your best call ever.
Me?
Yeah.
Which call?
First one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Short and sweet and to the point.
When you said, yeah, that's me, and no, my phone's not popping, and you hung up.
All right. What's your romantic query?
I have a error card, Eddie.
Oh, you give me
Upper Deck is not
going
to be a place for.
What is it?
I think Stacy's the one with the error card.
Oh.
Right. What? All right. Let's cut through the muck here.
I'm sorry.
Serious program here, my friend.
Sorry.
Who's got an error card? Billy Ripken? Who's got an error card here?
Newman.
I do.
What's the name of the player?
It's a Messier card. It's a wire card from the Parker's Champions Edition.
What? Okay, that's the Parker's Champions, which is a set that is just has old players in it, no current players. You're talking to us talking about a subset, which is called the Wire, which there are black and white photos with the actual AP Wire, I guess a paragraph from what appeared underneath the photograph at the time. And what's the error on the card?
On the back of the card, it's Messier with the 94 Rangers, but on the back it says Edmonton Oilers.
Yes. So what do you want me to answer? Is it worth more? No.
It isn't?
No.
Okay.
Just a little bit of misprint there, misinformation. Error cards are kind of like, they're fly by night.
Error
cards are more, you know, they're kind of like it's hot and then it just goes away. It's like in baseball, you remember back in the day, like I was mentioning the Billy Ripken card, what did it say, FU on his
bat knob, right?
On his bat knob, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
now nobody's
like
looking for that card. You know, nobody cares. Who cares? So that's I also priced the other cards. Your Dale Hawerchuk Upper Deck jersey card, it goes for $12. That's this year's Upper Deck. And your Vanek and Tuukka Rask go for $10 apiece. So you're $32 the richer. But nobody will buy them at book value, usually at half. So
it's not anymore.
What?
As far as the value, I was collecting big time in the early 90s, and that was huge back then, and I used to go to shows and everything, and it just doesn't seem to be that kind of demand. I have a boatload of stuff in my basement.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. A lot of us have a boatload of cards from the 90s, especially the early 90s, especially when Upper Deck came out with hockey. That was the, I think, probably the last sport they tackled. No, actually, football was last, believe it or not. Upper Deck came out with it, and it was so massively produced that, you know, you could use it for extra toilet paper now.
Yeah.
In the 90 rookie set, in the 90 rookie set, we had a lot of, you know, Hall of Famers and guys who are just retiring now. Your Sergei Fedorovs, your Mark Recchi's, these guys are going to be Hall of Famers. The Martin Brodeur Score, which is his rookie. He did not have an Upper Deck rookie.
Lindros, which is worth nothing.
But all those cards are worth virtually nothing. I think a Sergei Fedorov rookie goes for like $8, whereas opposed to Evgeny Grachev rookie goes for $15. So it really, it has to do with supply and demand, really, more than where the player is now. Captain's asking about a pro set card of Ray Bourque that has his name on the front is Bourque instead of the way it's really spelled. That is absolutely worthless, even if it was spelled correctly.
The
more
pro
toilet
produced, it wasn't funny.
Right. The pro set, which also came out in 1990, was there's more. I think there's actually more pro set than toilet paper on this world. In this world, there is just so much of it out there. It's completely and utterly useless. Okay. Well, that ends that bit. I wanted to kind of go into a hockey 101. And start with the obscure guys, man. Oh, you want to know about Robbie Moore. I don't think Robbie Moore even played enough games to get a hockey card. Basically, as how we discussed, in the 1990s, that's when hockey cards in the U.S. really began collecting. Collectors started really getting into it. And back then, before the information age of computers and such, speculators like me and Howie probably read the box scores, saw who was hot, and then went scouring to the local card shows.
Yep, absolutely.
And tried to get dirt cheap cards of unsuspecting dealers who didn't know what hockey was about, buy them cheap, and then sell them high. That's what we did. I would go to the card show. I'd see somebody who didn't know. How you tell them? You tell them what you used to do.
What I still do now, I'm really not collecting much of anything. I've priced some of
then.
My... Back then, I was like, I was totally into it. I went to the card shows. I went, you know, to the stores, you know, even to the hobby shops and bought up cards galore. And yeah, I have some nice collectible cards that are probably worth, you know, $15-$20. But there's just no, the demand is not there. And,
well,
you know... That's
it
the
is
issue.
What
I have,
it isn't.
I have the 99. It's posted about 90-91 Upper Deck. I have that. I have, you know, I think pretty much I kind of got out of it probably early 2000s. In fact, not only do I have cards, I have starting lineups for different sports.
Yeah.
I used to be huge into NASCAR, so I have a ton of NASCAR stuff too.
Jeez!
But, yeah, and
I heard about that crash the other night in the Daytona 500. I guess that was something.
Yeah, I'm not into racing as much as I used to be, but yeah, I did see it. But you know, it's I have a lot of Dale Earnhardt Sr. stuff because when he died, it was President's Day the next day, so I went to the local Kmart and I bought everything up that I could because I knew anything now would actually be worth more. Like now,
sick morbid capitalist.
Hey, you know what? Gotta take advantage of that situation, even if it was a morbid situation. But, you know, I got soured on it, and now the cards, even for a package, is just ridiculous. And you're getting like three,
right,
four cards, same price.
Well, here's the deal, and I'm getting some questions in the chat room about this from Brian. He asked me, what kind of cards would you like to should I collect? And it depends. Like,
yeah.
I'm a big set guy. I like to have the whole set, every one of each guy. And as you mentioned, Howie, the price of cards have gone crazy. Like, when we were kids and even as adults, you could get a pack of cards for a dollar and change or less
yeah.
than that. Now, if you go to buy a pack of cards at Target or Walmart, you're looking at $3, sometimes $2.59 if you're lucky.
Yeah.
There's a difference between the cards you buy at a store and the cards that you buy from a dealer, whether the dealer be at a card show or a flea market or what have you. The cards you buy in the store are retail cards. And they carry less cards in a pack, and your chances of hitting a bigger card, or I'll get into this on another show, but to hit a more expensive card are lesser in the retail pack than they are in the hobby box, what we term the hobby box, which is a box that comes right from the deal. They're meant for collectors. Retails are not meant for collectors. It's impulse buyers. So... Brian was asking me about what car. I like to collect sets. Now, what happened was without boring the audience completely to tears with this, Upper Deck and Topps / OPG were the only two makers of hockey cards pretty much to the 2000s. There were some other fly-by-night places, brands that came out. But Upper Deck primarily... Now, Upper Deck doesn't just come out with one set of cards.
No, they come out with multiple.
Under the Upper Deck manufacturer, there comes probably 10 different brands during the year.
Yep.
Yeah, so from low end to high end. And Topps is no longer in the hockey game. They are only in OPG, which OPG is now a separate entity from Topps.
Yeah, but if you remember correctly, Eddie, the OPGs were always worth more than the Topps, even though they were identical.
Right, because they were limited. They were only released in Canada, and they were more limited print run. Unfortunately, a lot of the OPG was not cut the greatest. The cuts were not the best.
No,
off center, such and such. But just as a 101 thing, I guess the first thing I'd get out of the way is there's a difference between the cards you buy at the store and the cards that you buy from a dealer. To answer the long and short, if I wanted to get a set, I think the best set at value would be the OPG set. It's a decent value with the rookies, and it's a large set. It's probably 700 cards in the entire set. So you've got to collect a lot, and it's a lot. It's a fun set. So that goes with that. I think that's it for our first lesson, Jim. Is that there is a difference between retail and the hobby box, because I know we're running out of time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I kind of had a feeling what you were talking about when you said the hobby box, but...
Yep.
But, all right, well, we got a busy schedule coming up here for the Rangers. We've got a game tomorrow night against the Hurricanes, Friday night against the Lightning, and then they're back on Sunday against the Bruins. And let's see, I know they have a busy week next week, too. Then we got the Devils again, the Senators... Pretty busy 10 days coming up for the Rangers. We will see you guys, I guess, next Wednesday night, depending on the schedule. We'll check it out. And just keep it to the Facebook group page. We always keep you guys posted on what's going on there at blueshirtunderground.com. At BSU Radio Jim is me. At Ranger Crisis is Eddie. Follow us on Twitter. Eddie, always a pleasure. Mandar, Howie, thank you for being
fantastic.
Here.
Fantastic. Yes, Mandar. The somber Mandar. All right. Well, good night, everybody.
He
had his game face. And maybe I'll throw up a show just for cards because I feel like I'm kind of interfering on the vibe of this show. But
oh, no,
so I can do a little show. No? But, Jim, no. I feel like I'm leaving you out, and I hate doing
that. No, it's all right. I just listen. I learn.
Okay. You listen, you learn.
I listen, I learn.
All right, my friends. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.